Blog Talk Radio.
Great Friday. How is everyone doing today on this marvelous August the 18th? I am so incredibly excited and welcome on the line. I just want to say that I am eager and enthusiastic to share this information with you today. And once again, it was significantly impacted with the events that transpired on last night. As you know, every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, we meet at the PRF table right here on Blog Talk Radio. That's 347-215-7934, with the marvelous Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr. and the PRF table team. On last night, we studied in great detail on the economic justice versus the economic injustice in your own church, faith-based community. And I must say that I was left with a thought-provoking state of mind, which brings me to today's show. What I felt on last evening was a complete transition in my original format. I was studying and preparing to speak on a completely different topic. But I need to, once again, you guys, be full and wholeheartedly transparent. And where I want to start is from my beginning. We ask everyone online if you could just mute your phones. That would be very helpful so that we can deter from any background distractions. But let me just say good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are reaching us from on today. My name is Kimberly Silas. I am the host of your show, and I am a health and wellness body transformation coach. No, I've never had any formal training in this capacity. All I know is that my ministry is to reach one and teach one. What I did was, in the crisis of my life, I was extremely overweight, suggested and encouraged by medical professionals to pull the weight down so that I would be a candidate for the gastric bypass. And in me doing so, I developed a level of confidence that I did not know I had. In 2007, 2008, I was 408 pounds. 2012. That was 2012. I was 408 pounds. This is August the 18th, 2017, and I am down 172 pounds without the surgery. And yes, I am excited. My life has completely changed. I am ecstatic at my progress and extremely confident. But on a regular basis, I teach people what I've done to make this progress, the products that I've used, the exercise regimens that I practice, the foods that I eat, and my spiritual maintenance. Last but not least is my spiritual maintenance, because like so many people, I believe that it was a physical attack. And what this show outlines is that anything that you want to accomplish in life has very, very, very little to nothing at all to do with the physical. Anything that you want to accomplish in life, you can address it spiritually, and it will manifest in the physical. I want to share something with you. Everybody knows my weight loss journey. I keep it open. I'm transparent. I don't have a lot of secrets in that area. I try to post as often as possible my progress, what I'm doing, and I have set up a tendency to only post the positive. And I realize that I need to go back and readdress some issues to just let you know that there are times when I feel fully and wholeheartedly overwhelmed. In January 18th of this year, my eldest brother, my best friend, my mentor, my guide, my sidekick, my joke partner, you name it, made his spiritual transition. Oh, this has completely redirected the projection of my life. It was unexpected, very painful, and extremely life impacting. I made a decision somewhere between March and May that I would not honor my brother's legacy with self-pity, pain, and sorrow. He was an amazing man. He is an amazing spirit, and I choose to honor him in celebration, doing all those things that I don't necessarily want to do, finding laughter in the midst of pain, finding rejoice and celebration in the midst of disappointment. I will do everything in my power to honor his life instead of the pain, sorrow, the grieving and resentment that I felt. I want to reverse it and do something different. Not only am I dealing with that, but just normal life circumstances show up. I have aging and elderly parents. We have medical issues that must be addressed throughout the family. We all have bills to pay. We have work colleagues, interactive relationships. There is always going to be something outside of self that holds the propensity to distract you from your primary and ultimate goal. With that being said, there are days, my fellow friends, that I feel fully and wholeheartedly overwhelmed. I experience periods of anger, doubt, discontent, frustration, self-pity. You name it, there are a gamut of negative emotional and energy sources that I could potentially allow to consume me. I have so many. I shared with a friend recently that I have so many levels of responsibility and accountability that if I wanted to have a nervous breakdown, I would have to put in a vacation request or a leave of absence. Literally, life does not shut down because I have the appearance of adversity in my life. So how do I keep myself on point? How do I keep my positive attitude? How do I maintain this life quest for health and wellness? How do I keep this weight off? How do I keep my energy levels high? And I ultimately, if I had to just chalk it up into one word, it would be God. If I had to chalk it into two words, it would be network. Surround yourself with people of like mind who have your best interest at heart, because we all have our own intimate and personal relationships with God, but God uses people to influence God and direct our path. So ensure at all costs that your network is on point. Surround yourself with people who have your best interest at heart, and make sure that your network is on point. So God first, network two, has elevated me into a season of victorious confidence. And I want to share with you how I derived to this point where I am today. I'm kind of all over the place because I'm very emotional, but I have my co-host, Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr., who has been more than a mentor and guide. He is a loving spirit. He is a nurturing spirit. He is confident in the way that he addresses issues that directly impact us individually, that directly impact our community. And he teaches a empowerment ministry that if it is to be done, you must do it. And this is where I am right now. It is by the grace of God, just another one of his great, marvelous, and many blessings that he bestows upon my life, that I have been brought into the fold of the PRF table, possessions, finances, and resources. How are you utilizing these things to your highest and greatest good? Do you even understand what it looks like? And let's change the course of reality by changing the course of reality within us. But here I am on last night with Dr. Dunlap and the PRF table, and we went into some thought-provoking ministry on last night about economic injustice within ourselves, economic injustice within the church that we call our home base, and how does our behavior and our church's behaviors in conjunction with our faith base address everything around us. And I was so mesmerized with the content of the information that I was scribbling notes all over the place, and I couldn't even bring myself to speak. And from that point to now, I've just been in a complete meditative state about where God has brought me from to where I am right now. And I want to share something with you. And I know we have Bible scholars that chime in, and we all have the right to our own spiritual faith-based center. But I want to share something that I've learned, and I'll ask Dr. Dunlap to chime in. Just I'll ask that you allow me to put this information out there. But when we study the word Christ, when we look at the word Christ, if you were to go to Google or Webster's or Wikipedia, it immediately refers you back to the Western European research documents that reference Christ as the name of Jesus. And in order to get more detailed information, research, you would have to go to other journals, of published journals, and just keep dwelling and studying. And that's what I have been doing for a period of time. Now, we're speaking on the word Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. Now, for centuries, we have been taught or led to believe that Christ is Jesus' last name. Hear me now. Christ is Jesus' last name, Jesus Christ. Now, historically, it has been common that the name is either listed singularly or combined with Jesus. You'll find it printed consistently as Jesus, singular, Christ Jesus combined, or Jesus Christ combined. And it leads you to believe that that is his name. And you'll also find it as well as Jesus the Christ. And throughout all these variations, it led me to look, why did they add the word the, T-H-E? It left me thirsty to study and determine the need for the meaning behind it. And I went into a Black Biblical Heritage Bible, and it said that the word the, during biblical times, the last names such as Johnson, Smith, Anderson, they weren't utilized like we utilize names today. In today's culture, everybody is referenced by their first name and a surname. Kimberly Silas, Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, John Smith, Mary Williams. We are listed with a first name and a surname. Well, biblically, that wasn't the case. During biblical times, your name would be referenced in conjunction with your title, your parents' name, your vocation, or your region. Using Jesus as an example, Jesus would have been Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph, Jesus, the carpenter boy, Jesus of Nazareth. In the latter adult life of Jesus, we began to signify different meanings and translations for his name, and still to this day, we convey him as Jesus, the life giver, Jesus, the anointed one, Jesus, the anointed life giver, the healer, the redeemer, the teacher, the Messiah. The list goes on and on and on. But I'm reflecting, like, what was the need for the T T-H-E, Jesus the Christ. And the word the is a determiner. It is used especially before a noun. Now, hear me now. I said noun with a specifying particularizing effect as opposed to an indefinite like a or an, like Jesus a Christ or Jesus an. So I'm like, okay, it's the determiner of a noun. Studying a little more, you guys, I found and said, yes, Christ is a name. I'm all over the place, but hear me. Christ is a name, but it is the name of a noun, not necessarily a person. We automatically, and there's nothing wrong with identifying it as Jesus, but it is the name of a noun. And progressing into more detailed study, okay, what is this noun? And it denotes characteristics of a. See what I'm saying? First they had the, now they have a. Characteristics of a Christ would include, this is where, Dr. Dunlap, I was all over the house, turning cartwheels in here by myself, y'all, turning cartwheels and just rejoicing because I'm in here reading the book of Philippians, studying and singing and praising, I know, till 4 o'clock this morning. But the characteristics of a Christ, a meaning a separate connotation or denotes the separation, that there is humble service, holiness, righteousness, purity, love, forgiveness, compassion, endurance, submission, humility and obedience, kindness, and generous giving. Every one of these, I could not pull myself to slow down, has a verse attached to it. Humble service, John 13, 1 through 5. Jesus washing the feet. Generous giving, Corinthians 8, 1 and 9. Generous giving, give because it is in your heart to do so. So I'm saying, okay, no one among us will ever live a blemish-free, perfect life, and our spiritual growth and development is contingent upon consistency and practice. However, with the operable word being practice, this leads me or led me in that moment, Dr. Dunlap, to my favorite Bible verse. And I knew it was my favorite because I needed something that would fuel my core. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4 and 13. This is why I get so excited. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, this fuels me. There may be other people that find other verses that fuel them, but I could not necessarily put my finger on why is this one, out of all the beautiful passages and scriptures in the Bible, why is this one fueling me so passionately? And it works for me. I can do all things. Now, quite often we look at God or Jesus as a magical genie. Just pray, rub the lantern, and everything we desire will immediately be granted to us. Or either we sit by and pray only to wallow in disappointment and self-pity when things don't come to us as quickly as we assume they should. The Bible, I have found, is chalked with promises of health, healing, abundant life, prosperity. You go on and on and on. It's just, it's my personal understanding and spiritual belief that the life and teaching of Jesus is a gift given by God. It's a gift given to us from God that all we need to do is be yourself, and anything that I want, God, this is where your teaching last night, Dr. Dunlap, impacted me so significantly. Because anything that I affirm that I ask God to do for me, he can only do it for me if I allow him to do it through me. Accountability. I have a part to play in this. God is, he can do anything. He's miraculous. He's all everything. He can do it and he will do it. But so often I hear culturally, spiritually, and faith-based community, I'm just going to pray on it. Okay, We didn't pray on it. What are you going to do? God has given us a level of empowerment to do it. And I think the life and legacy, for lack of a better word, of Jesus is that this was our gift. This was our visualization in the human form of the power of what God will do for you. So when I say that Dr. Dunlap is a Christ, people look at me like I'm crazy. He ain't no Christ. That's a cult over there. No, it is not. Dr. Dunlap is humble. He's holy. He's righteous. He's pure. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's compassionate. He's enduring. He's submissive. He's humility. He's kindness. He's abundant giving, obedience, and generous giving. These are the characteristics of a Christ. Now, before y'all go crazy and get to talking about Kim over there tripping on this radio show, I need y'all to understand, for real, I need people to understand that we all, if God made me in his image and likeness, I am a seed of the Most High God. A seed is intending to place it in fertile soil and watch it grow. That's all a seed is intended to do. If I am made in his image and likeness, I am a seed of the Most High God. What they need to do is place me in fertile soil and let me grow. Now, here is the hit. I have been awarded. Now, biblically, all the testimony and instructions precede me. I didn't have nothing to do with writing the Bible. I didn't have nothing to do with anything. The Bible is life's blueprint outlined with patience, grace, mercy, abundance, love, and forgiveness. Now, I have been awarded unmerited favor, Dr. Dunlap. I never have to get it perfect. I don't ever have to be that perfect seed. My job is to remain in fertile soil, get it started, maintain consistency, and confidently do my best. That's all that God expects of me. Get it started, remain in fertile soil, and always do my best. That's it. That's it. So when I think about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, scratch through Christ. Just take the Christ out of there. I can do all things through humble service because it strengthens me. I can do all things through holiness because it strengthens me. I can do all things through righteousness, purity, love, forgiveness, compassion, endurance, submission, humility, obedience, kindness, and generous giving because these characteristics of the Christ strengthen me. Dr. Dunlap, I was in here. My mama used to catch the Holy Ghost. It wouldn't give none of us any warning in the house, Dr. Dunlap, that she was finna catch this Holy Ghost up in the house. All we know is she starts screaming from room to room, slamming doors. Just after years of doing this, we knew what it was and we knew what to look for. But a stranger inside of our home, for my mama to randomly catch the Holy Ghost, would have scared somebody up out of there and they would have never come back. And that's what happened to me last night. I was so overjoyed in the Spirit of God. I mean, oh, when I started putting, you know, just tagging each line, just remove it out. So you mean to tell me when they anger me at work and I want to cuss them all out, all I got to do is practice humble service, practice forgiveness and compassion, and endure because those characteristics strengthen me? You know, I was just like, oh, my God. I love Dr. Phil and Ayanna Van Zandt. You know, just forgive me. It's so many empowered speakers in today that I listen to that give me insight. But I know Dr. Phil was talking one day, and he said that we are generationally damaged. He said generationally damaged. And we've all, especially in the African-American culture, heard about people discussing generational curses. And I had claimed long before hearing this, I'm not claiming it. Don't come up on me with no generational curse because whatever it is, I'm breaking it. But he said we are generationally damaged. And all that means is people before us were taught wrong. They taught their people wrong. Their people taught their people wrong. And they tried to pass it off to teach us wrong. All it is a matter of repenting, knowing that it's wrong and going the other way. And I repent on a lot of things on a day-to-day basis because generationally it's some stuff that was wrong. It's not okay to keep doing stuff wrong. When you know better, you do better. And when you do better, you do your best at doing that better. And Dr. Phil was saying to just pursue your dreams and accomplish any goal, you must learn to become loving and nurturing to yourself. Now, you know that was right up my alley. If I'm into anything, I am into me. I like me. And I know that I am my own personal gift from God, Dr. Dunlap. And anything, you know, we talk about giving and being accountable and nurturing in our communities and, you know, stepping out on, you know, extending the olive branch and doing all these wonderful things. But before we can accomplish any of those things, we got to learn to be loving, nurturing, and accommodating to ourselves. You got to, and I'm all in for that. And then Ayanla, just do the work. You know, Ayanna like the Nike of the spiritual world. She's just like, just do it. Who you waiting on to fix these problems? Ain't nobody going to knock on your door and say, hey, big girl, I heard you in here clinically depressed. You have a tendency to overeat, a background of substance abuse. Let me come in here and help you. Nobody is going to do that. It's not normal. Yes, God can send blessings out of the sky, and there could be a random stranger that show up and knock on my door to say, hey, I'm here to assume all of your responsibilities to help you out. It is possible. I know it is because I know how God works. But in the meantime, I am accountable. Get up and just do the work. And one, the easiest way that she explained to do it is don't overwhelm yourself, Dr. Dunlap, and replace one behavior or behaviors with a new behavior or set of behaviors. Just one thing. If you are lazy, walk 5 minutes a day. We're not even going to get you in the gym. We're not going to make you hit the treadmill for 30 to 45 minutes. If you know you lazy and you're trying to break a habit, get up and walk for 5 minutes. That's a level of accountability. All you have to do is replace one poor behavior with a brand new behavior. If you know you drink Coca-Cola all day long and your body has developed a issue of substance abuse to Coca-Cola and carbohydrated drinks, all you have to do is force yourself to drink one full 16-ounce glass of agua a day. That's your obligation. That's your level of accountability. You're going to have to break the cycle somewhere. And for us to try to make everything brand new all in one day, yes, God is that miraculous healing, all-knowing, all-doing, he can make it happen type of God. Yes, he will do it. But in the meantime, there are some steps and provisions that you can put in place to help you with this level of accountability. So I said all that to say this. Callers, listeners, how does this have anything to do with health and wellness, and how will this impact my wealth? How will this impact my finances? Please don't get it twisted. In order for you to accomplish anything, you must have a healthy, positive core, period. I promise you, when you get your mind and your core and your commitment on track, everything else falls out of the sky. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Not only will your health begin to improve, I promise you, better hydration, better eating habits, better activity and exercise habits, the body becomes more receptive to all of the information that we have to offer. And this is a smorgasbord. You know, like you go to Ryan's or the Golden Corral. I don't know where you are within the States, but here in the South, we have these buffets. And anything you want at these buffets, from Chinese food to Mexicana to charbroiled steak, fried chicken, broiled fish, baked fish, fried fish, shrimp, anything you want, you can get it. You know, life is like Golden Corral times 100. Anything you want, you can acquire it. We hear this all of the time. All you got to do is visualize it, and it'll come true in your life. That is true. That is very true, but they don't tell you that the visualization, Dr. Dunlap, takes work. It takes replacing old behaviors with new behaviors. It comes with consistently, be ye renewed, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Fix your mind. Dr. Dunlap, anger, I won't necessarily say resentment, but anger and hostility, I have the propensity of anger and hostility because I am very protective of those things that I believe, and I am very protective of things that I know to be right. And when anybody try to take me outside of a level of security, I fight back. I buck. I am bad about that. Not that I should not be nurturing and protective of the things that I believe to be sacred, pure, and right, but I need a better way to communicate. I need a way that I can not be harsh, ghetto, ratchet, and offensive, because Big Kim is still in there. And that's what I'm learning to do, and those are the things that God constantly reveals to me on a regular basis, is that you're on the right track, baby, but you need work. And that's why I like it where I say I am being awarded and blessed with unmerited favor. Awarded and blessed with unmerited favor, Dr. Dunlap. All of this precedes me. I am the seed of the Most High God. My job is to stay in fertile soil, do my very best, and when I've mastered my best, do a little bit more. That's where I'm at with that. And so to take you back to I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it Philippians 4 and 13, go read the whole book. I promise you, you will be in your house, in your closet, praying and praising God because it feels just that good, to rejoice just because. I can't remember where it was at, but I have it right here just from the very beginning. Philippians, oh my goodness. Dr. Dunlap, I should have highlighted it, but it was we talking about just rejoice, rejoice, and then rejoice again. Ooh, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of his Father. From now on, my beloved, just as you have always been obedient, not only in my presence, but such more in my absence, work out your own salvation with reverence and trembling. Dr. Dunlap. Yes, this is Philippians 2nd chapter, 11th verse, 11 and 12. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God his Father. Here's the hit in 12. From now on, my beloved, just as you have always been obedient, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with reverence and trembling. Is he not telling you, I've already blessed you, you do your own work? Am I misinterpreting this scripture?
I'm just trying to keep up with you, Kim, to be honest. Today, you just on fire. So let me give my understanding. A lot of times, what is given to so many from the pulpit, from disciples, is the importance of salvation. And oftentimes in communicating the importance of salvation, that importance becomes the number one thing. I won't dispute anybody on that, because if Christ come today and you have not accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, in hell you lift up your eyes. That's no dispute on that. However, what I continue to find is that when that becomes the primary, it's almost as if there is no secondary. there is no nothing else that you really have to do other than some religious things, which really is not it. Read your Bible. Go to church. Well, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what the writer of Philippians is saying. What it's saying is you got to work it out. And that takes us back to even when we talked on last night from Matthew 25. When the Son of Man has come, he will separate those on the left and the right. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And then he talked, if you were there on the PRF table, you already know. But at the end of the day, it was, you can't believe that just because you say in a sinner's prayer, you give the preacher your hand, whatever it is that you've done, repeat Romans 10, 9 and 10, whatever it is, however it happened for you as an individual, I'm talking to you, meaning the listeners, however it happened for you, you can't believe that that's just it. And that's how I take Philippians 2, 11 and 12. You got to work hard at this thing. And this thing is not about you saying that you're saved. It's about the results of your salvation. That's what the scripture is talking about. What's the results of your salvation? So if you say that you're saved, you have received salvation, then how do you show the results? By obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So as you keep peeling back the onion, well, what does it mean to obey God? Well, sometimes you can't obey what you don't know. That goes mm-hmm. to something that you said earlier and at the top of your show today. If I don't know what certain things are required of me, Micah 6:8, to do what is right or to love justly or to do justly, show mercy and walk humbly with my God. If I don't know to do those things, how can I ever be accountable for them? But at the end of the day, the other part of it is not either or, it's a both end. It's not just how can you be accountable for them, but how are you really displaying yourself as a disciple of Christ? What are people seeing? And that goes back to something that we talked about on last night. You got to raise your eyebrows when you start thinking about what you're seeing. What's happening, what's not happening. You got to raise your eyebrows at some of the stuff that's going on right now. And I don't have to go anywhere out into Washington, D.C. I could just say, what's going on in your church? What's going on in your own individual household? That's my take.
And I do attest to the fact, Dr. Dunlap, that I'm new in my study, and it comes, it feels to me, like you said, peeling the onion. It's a matter of peeling the onion, because every time I read something, number one, I'm receiving clarity that I've never received in my whole entire life, and number two, I know it just keeps taking me back to the accountability. That's why I'm saying, is this what this verse is meaning to me? Work out your own salvation with reverence and trembling. For it is God who inspires you with the will to do good things which you desire to do. So God inspires you, but you need to work it out. Do all things without disputing and doubting. And you know, that's, I don't know that I mentioned it, but Dr. Dunlap, depression for me years ago, I'm going to say I have been substance abuse free. Let me say that, for 17 years. But 17 years ago, I had a team of clinical professionals diagnose me with depression. Now, I'm already dealing with trying to free myself of substance abuse. So I'm like, here y'all trying to put me on another medication. I'm not with it. I have to have another alternative other than taking more drugs. And I had this one lady. Yes, I had this one lady. She said, Kim, it's treatable, but it takes work. She said, you need to hydrate your body on a regular basis. Plenty, plenty, plenty of water. You cannot be ever distracted to believe that you can have anything other than plenty of water. Because coffee is good. It stimulates the body, she said, but too much of it sends you into overdrive. Coca-Colas and all those sugary drinks, they bring up your metabolism and they drop it just as hard. You're going to have to learn to incorporate other things. She said, let's try this hydration, affirmative conversation, talking to yourself, which most people that poor behavior, what we talked about, generationally damaged, telling us that talking to yourself is wrong. That's generational damage. You have to affirm on a regular basis, whether you pray silently or pray out loud. I have conversations with God like I'm having right now. That's just how I do it. I don't know how other people do, but when I have the opportunity to talk to God, we go in. And exercise, just 10 minutes a day, maybe 2 to 3 times a day, just get you some fresh air and oxygen in your body, and I promise you, you're going to be all right. 17 years later, Dr. Dunlap, I am all right. Just from that little bit, amen, that nugget of amen. And I don't have to take medication. But let me tell you what does happen. I have learned to replace the appearance of depression with those same bits of nuggets. When my brother made his transition, that's the most impacting thing that has happened in my life ever. And there are days when I sit up in here, I don't feel like getting on the treadmill. I don't feel like drinking water. I don't feel like preparing healthy, wholesome meals. I don't feel like doing any of that. I want to lay and wallow in my self-pity. This is how I know the inspiration and spirit of God is so alive and real, because guess what comes to me immediately? Girl, you know what to do. You know better than this. You know if you lay up here too long, it's going to manifest in full-blown depression. And what you don't want them folk to do is try to give you medicine. And it just triggers me to get up and try. And just through trying, Dr. Dunlap, it catapults me into a better position with a higher level of confidence than I had the day before. And I'm saying all of that to say, you know, growing up, I grew up in the church. And I've often quoted that I grew up in the church, but the church didn't grow in me. Because I saw people catching the Holy Ghost. I saw people quoting scriptures. I saw people praying corporately. I saw people singing and praise dancing. And all of these things I didn't seem to be good at or had not impacted my spirit to the point where I felt like I was an intricate part of the body of Christ. And therefore, I showed up, but I stayed back. And at this point in my life, I realized that this kingdom has the room for every manifestation of God's kingdom. Everybody has a place, and my place is not Dr. Dunlap's place. Dr. Dunlap is real good with education. Dr. Dunlap is real good with finding scriptures, immediately going to the source, and he's real good in explanation and teaching. I'm not there yet. But I do know that I have a place in the kingdom because of the inspiration that God feeds me. So my point is, wherever you are in this thing, your job is to allow your seed to be planted in fertile soil, maintain, and just do your best at all times. Because none of us are ever going to be perfect. None of us will ever live a perfect, unblemished life. But the accountability factor is where you always have the option to go back and say, I didn't do that right. Allow me to do it this way. And it's a practice. It's a constant, ongoing, day-to-day practice. And some of us call it repentance. However you choose to phrase it, what language you choose to use, I think that all of us have the spirit and seed of divinity in us. It's just that a lot of us don't know we have it, and then some of us don't know how to cultivate and use it. And I am just so grateful that it is my season to be nurtured and fed and just cultivated into whatever God wants me to be. Am I making sense or am I sounding crazy?
Kim, listen, you know how I am. However the Spirit leads you, somebody needs to hear what you're saying. And the beauty of ministry is this, that number one, you're not going to please everybody. You're not required to please everybody. And as long as you're being pleasing to God, then that's the number one thing that truly, truly matters. And I say this because I know it may come up later. What was revealed to you about Christ was very challenging for a lot of people to hear. I had to very, very listen very, very intently, and I even have it. But what I will say is this: you have the opportunity, those of you who are listening, to go and look up anything. We have so much information that is right there for us, that is attached to all these different devices that we walk around in our hands, in our pocketbooks, in our book bags. So continue to say what you believe that it is that God is telling you to say. And we have to catch up. Trust me, as one who says a lot of things to a lot of people to try to speak life into their circumstances, a lot of times what is being said is not what people want.
Yeah.
So when you speak life into people's circumstances, the beauty of it is, especially through radio, you speak on matters that matter. You speak on and into areas that oftentimes people will not speak from the pulpit. Those who receive from the pulpit will not speak them to somebody else, not even in the barbershop, the hairdresser, the nail salon, or the grocery store. So say what you say. Mean what you say. And the beauty is, as with anything connected to the PRF table, let's have the dialogue. See, you sparked something with the conversation, but other folks have to engage the conversation. Don't engage the conversation outside of the atmosphere where the conversation is brewing or where the conversation has been planted. And so I just encourage people that are following you to engage you further in the conversation, bring the dialogue, bring that to fruition because it's needed. Somebody needs to know because somebody's has been led, if you will, by hearing for a long time that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no question about that for me, that it is through the power that Christ has left back here once he descended or once he ascended back into heaven and left the Holy Spirit. That's how I'm able to do what I do. It's not through my personal strength. But when I tap into that, the fact that I also have personal strength, it doesn't mean I don't have any personal strength, which goes to your point about accountability. What it means is I'm taking those attributes that are within me and I'm allowing them to be attached to what God has placed within me from the foundation of the world, just waiting for me to catch up to accept Christ and then to receive the Holy Spirit. I take these abilities that God has given me, and through my relationship with Christ, I'm able to make certain things happen. And it's not me. It's not me. But it's really through Christ who has given me what I'm able to do. I don't take it for granted, the things, the greater works, if you will, that he's allowed me to be able to do, the greater works that he's allowed you to be able to do as well. We just have to be able to come together as a community of believers. And if we can't come together as a community of believers, then I say just come on as the remnant, because sometimes the remnant is smaller than the community, because sometimes the people in the community have received so much in their past. They have been given so much that they just believe is right, and it may be wrong. Or it may be information that was good enough for that particular time. It was a good enough for a lot of people just to hear, just trust God when it comes to your finances. Just trust God. Well, listen, not my daughters, they're in that millennial age, right? And I'm just telling you, something else is needed. There's nothing wrong for that. Nothing wrong with that at all. That something else is needed for them because they grow up, they're growing up and they've grown up in a very different culture than 40 years ago. So we have to be willing to embrace where people are in the various aspects. And again, as long as it's Christ-centered, why are we tripping? Nobody needs to be tripping about anything, especially if it's Christ-centered. Yep. I say it like this and I'll be done. We have four Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course. Mark was the first one that was written. But we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The reality is, not all of them are telling the same exact story the same exact way. But yet we do not have any issues or any quarrels with the four Gospels of the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because it was written, we have enough faith and belief that it was inspired by God, and therefore we just accept it through faith. Well, the reality is that God did not stop speaking because somebody decided to put a cover on the front and a cover on the back of what has been reduced to 66 books and called the Holy Bible. God has not stopped speaking. He still speaks through his people. And so we just have to be willing to engage and continue the conversations. And then when we get to that stage of dialogue, oh, that's when we really do something, because now I'm embracing what you're saying. You're embracing what I'm saying, even if I don't agree with it. But I have enough respect and I have enough love for you to say, you know what, that's your position. I got you. No problem. I don't quite get it. And you can say the same thing to me, but we can still operate within love. Think about this. You have communities. I did some research years ago. I know I said I was going to be quiet, but I am, because I'm running down your last few minutes of your show. But I remember I did some research in a couple of cities, several years ago, and I dealt with religious leaders of different faiths and business leaders, nonprofits, business owners. I had several people in different spheres. Some of them wore more than one hat. And I thought that the issue of the community, when the results came back from the surveys that I did and analyzed, was going to be that the number one issue in the community was going to be money. Here's what it was. The number one issue in the community was education. So by and large, education was the number one issue between most of the people that participated in the survey, leaders. Now watch this. There never was anything done because everybody only wanted to bring their point of view as having the reason why it was. Why is education so bad within our community? Well, you had the Muslim saying this. You had the Christian saying this. You had the black person saying this. And I said, at the end of the day, that's not your starting point. If your starting point is only where you fit your point of entry versus listening, then we're not even going to have a conversation and never move to dialogue. But everybody wanted to just say, well, you know what? Let me just tell you, because of the white man this, because of the Christian this, because of the black man this, because of the Muslim this. That's where they wanted to come from, because they were holding all that in. At the end of the day, that's not how we get to the place where you're talking about, where what you're bringing up. That's not how we speak life to the circumstances. We mm-hmm. speak life into the circumstances by understanding that there is a commonality on various fronts that we can come together on. And again, I don't have to be of your same faith to speak life into your child. I don't have to be of the same color as you to speak life into your child. I don't have to be of the same gender as you are to speak life into hate and violence and economic injustice and to speak life into those situations that may seem dead when people are broke, busted, disgusted, laid off, underpaid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I feel that people really need to see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really need to see where you're coming from and how excited that revelation was to you. And again, that's doing something for you. It may do something and we'll believe, speak life into the show, right? That somebody else will receive from what you said and say, you know what? That's what I needed today. That I needed your health is your wealth today because of whatever was going on in their life. A lot of times we got to make sure, or a lot of times we should be making sure those of us who occupy these various titles of religious leadership, we need to be connected to the people. Because if you're not connected to the people, how can you speak life? All the thing you're doing is just trying to pronounce a blessing, but that doesn't always speak life. So thank you for just allowing me to be a part of the show. You know, when I can get here, Kim, I am here. I am here, but we're always with you in prayer.
Excited, Dr. Dunlap. And, I really do. And I receive everything you said because you're absolutely right. Maybe the way I receive it or the way I convey it may not always be 100% on point, but it is my most transparent self that is how I feel. And I think that in any capacity, when you are in the presence of a teacher, it is the teacher's job to teach, and then each student may receive the information, but receive it differently or learn it differently. But, you know, when I say, okay, let me say this. The gospel of Jesus Christ, or share the gospel. What I'm sharing is what I believe that is saying, or to be loving, to be kind, to be humble, to be obedient, to be of a giving heart, to be humble and submissive, and to endure. You know, those things I would imagine would be what we are sharing when we share the gospel. Instead of the negative, which would be hatred, resentment, animosity, unforgiveness, you know, combativeness, those would be the opposite of sharing the fruits of the gospel. And so when mm-hmm. I say that I can do all things through Christ, Christ denotes those things. Christ denotes humble service, holiness, love, obedience, discipline, endurance, generous giving. Those are the things that Christ characterizes. You know, so as long as I keep doing those things and maintaining those characteristics, and I keep myself within a confident spirit, am I doing the right thing? Do I believe what I'm doing is right? Integrity is doing those things that is right even when nobody's watching, when you don't get a pat on the back. Are you comfortable with where you are right now? And my level of comfort is rooted in the fact that I don't have to be perfect, but I got to keep trying. I got to keep doing my very, very best. So when I say I can do all things through Christ because it strengthens me, what I am saying is I can do all things because Christ, I know, has prepared a place before me where I know it is imperative that I remain humble, that I remain loving, that I remain kind, that I remain a submissive, obedient, disciplined servant. That's what I'm trying to say. So I don't want to offend anybody, and I just want to say, Dr. Dunlap, this is an absolutely amazing, amazing, amazing opportunity. And I want to end with this. In Philippians, same, it's chapter 1, verse 27, it says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or whether I am far away, I may hear of your good conduct, that you are standing firm in one spirit and in one soul and triumphing together through the faith of the gospel. So with that being said, I want to put out there the question for the week. Are you confident in your position within the body of Christ? Are you confident with where you are right now? And do you feel as though you are adequately conveying what you believe to be true? I guess that's how it says. Where are you and how do you feel? Dr. Dunlap, I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. All of my health
love
is your
you too,
wealth.
My sister.
All of our guests coming in today, we want to invite you, number one, every first and third Friday of the month, we meet right here at 2 p.m. at Your Health is Your Wealth. That is blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, or you can dial in at 347-215-7934. God bless you. Continue progression, abundant life, and your health is your wealth. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Peace.